appreciate the good music this morning from everybody. Anybody here for the first time visiting with us? Glad to have you. You. Over here. Over here. Any others? Over here. We're glad to have you. It's all right. We don't ask you if anything. Just raise your hand up. No, we're not going to give you anything either. Just get it right on up there. My buddy of 50 years, Charlie Daniels, and beautiful Mary are here. Glad of that. Charlie said when Greg was finished, he said, you need to learn to do that. I said, play a guitar and sing? He said, no, make a long story short. I said, no. We're not, and we're starting early, a little late this morning, which means that we'll have to cut sermon in half, and as I didn't see you yesterday, April Fool. Mm-hmm. All right. Be sure to let Ziggy eat first, where he can get through his meal and then begin to play his accordion. If you don't, the food will be gone, and he won't get to participate. So glad you're back with us, Dick. Dick said they let me knock on the door of heaven twice and wouldn't let me in. Said, go back to church. I said, all right. We're glad to see that. Most announcements were made. We didn't make this is CD Sunday, first Sunday of the month. We always ask those people who have committed, 30 of you, I don't know who you are, don't know who you are, 30 people to give $20 a month, whether you do it $5 a week or on CD Sunday, be sure to put it in the CDs. That helps pay for the CD ministry to send it out. Tony sends out, how many are you sending out now, girl? 155 a week. And if you don't know what that means, it's $1.37 a piece to mail is what it means after you put them together and everything else. And she has no business spending that amount of money. It costs her quite a bit of money that she gladly does, but she needs the help. So 30 of you, whoever you are, we don't ask for a show of hands, just 30 of you, make that your ministry. Everybody needs a ministry. You say, I can't preach, I can't do this, but I can do something. You can send the CDs, and we get letters from around the country of people who say, I'm too old to go to church, I'm infirm, I can't go to church, and you are my church. And so they depend on that to get that every Sunday, and we, of course, thank you for doing that and thank them for listening. Be sure to stay for homecoming. For those of you who have been complaining, Lewis Alexander brought me this. It says, the first stone, ye who are without sin, may cast the first stone. Other than that, I don't want to hear it, okay? Those of you for the first time, we hope there'll be a second. Sometimes they aren't. If you brought a Bible, turn to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 9, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. When the Lord wrote the Bible through the Spirit of God, through these men, it goes on several different levels. The story you can read very easily if you finish the sixth grade. You can read the story and get the meaning of the story. But the scriptures go many, many levels. And the longer you stay with them and study them and ask God to teach you as he said to do, the deeper you will see the meanings of scriptures when you read them. You read on one level, and not disparaging to you, some of you are smarter than me. I welcome both of you. What? And we see people who you see on television, Dr. Stanley and people like that, John Hagee, they'll see a deeper level. They'll see two or three levels down. You get to somebody like my father, he goes deep sea diving. He'll get seven levels down, and you'll spend the rest of your life saying, I didn't see that. That's right. It was right in front of you. Fortunately, this is about a blind man being made to see, and that may be you. Listen carefully this morning as we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in the name of Christ Jesus, the name that's above every name, he who is, was, and ever shall be. We thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, for bringing Dickie back from the edge of death. He'd be better off with you, but we're thankful you left him with us because we sure enjoy him. Thank you for touching Bob, getting his test proved to be nothing, that he's all right, that you've already healed him. those among us who are sick, just keep praying and keep staying with the Lord Jesus, and he'll take care of everything. Lord, as always, remove me from this place that you be heard. And anything that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. All that should be remembered, please have it be. That above all you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Chapter 9, we will read Listen Fast this morning. My job is to talk, yours is to listen. I always pray that I get through before you do. Some of them listen, don't they, Sam? Chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eye of the blind man and with the clay. And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, No, he's like him. But he said, I'm him. Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man is called Jesus, made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I don't know. Please read the Bible, not in King James English, and hearing the orchestra in the background and the voice of a movie star, but these are people, all right? They're aggravating this guy. He'd been blind since birth. Now he can see. He's interested in seeing the sun and the sky and the grass and the birds. He wants to see his people. He wants to see what children look like. He wants to see what his friends look like. And this fool's asking him where Jesus is. He said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Leave me alone. They brought to the Pharisees. They brought him that was blind. Doesn't say who brought him. Somebody brought him to the Pharisees. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Pharisees were the nitpickers. He said unto them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. What part of that don't you understand? That isn't written there. That's the Greenway version. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. What a wonderful observation. Others said, How can a man that's a sinner do such miracles if he's not of God? So there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? That he has opened thine eyes. And he said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know this is our son. We were there when he was conceived. And that he was born blind. He's my baby. I know he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. And they didn't. They didn't see this occur. Or who hath opened his eyes? We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. These words spake the parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, meaning Jesus, he should be put out of the synagogue. And that's out of the Social Security and Welfare group because they depended on the synagogue for everything. Therefore, said his parents, He's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Liar, you don't know anything. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Then again they said to him, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered and told them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Why do you want me to tell you again? Will ye also be his disciples? Would y'all like to follow him? Imagine asking the Pharisees that. Ought to hit the ceiling. And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoken to Moses. As for this fellow, we not know from where he is. The man answered and said unto them, well, here's a marvelous thing. You know not from where he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. Get a clue. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, he doeth his will, and he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and are you going to teach us? With the Pharisees, with the teachers. And they cast him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? The blind man formerly said, who is he, Lord, that I can believe on him, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. Worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, well, then are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, the different level that you read that story on, I always love to read that because it's just an argument between these people, these Pharisees and this family and this formerly blind man. And we see several spiritual messages here that we will give to you. And the first is in your first few verses. So Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. Jesus wasn't blind. The man was blind. Jesus can see and is doing what with his sight? Always seeking those who are spiritually blind. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I bring light to darkness. I'll take you out of darkness to light. I'll make those who are blind to see. You see, none of the miracles, the parables, and anything that Jesus said was to fill up a certain number of pages of the book. When you write a book, if you've ever written one, several of you have, they say we need 352 pages. And your head only has 252 pages of information. Therefore, you got to make up some stuff and do fill-ins and talk about stuff that doesn't make any sense to fill up the extra pages. Authors do it all the time because 15-page books don't sell, but 30-page books do. But Jesus, when he did anything, there will be a spiritual message in it if you aren't spiritually blind and can see it. Now, your eyes are open spiritually when you are born again. When you accept Christ, then you are an eligible candidate for the reading of the Scriptures. Till then, just leave the Scripture alone. The only thing in there for you is that you're lost and need to be found, that you are blind and that you need spiritual sight, and that if you stay as you are, you're going to die and go to hell, and you can change that and go to heaven. Now, you don't need to read any more of the Bible till you get that straight. Spiritually blind people can read the Bible for every morning till they die and will get nothing out of it. There's nothing in there for a man who can't spiritually discern things. That's why these arguments you see on TV between people like Larry King and Jerry Falwell prove useless. Because Larry King will get the right answers to the questions and will not understand them once he hears them. He's spiritually blind. He can't receive that. You this morning who are saved will understand what I say. Those of you who have been saved for a while will see the deeper meanings that I teach you. Those of you who are lost will wonder why I keep on talking about this blind man seeing. Didn't we cover that in the first 5 minutes? Understand why. You are blind. You cannot see. We're here to be in optometry this morning and to open some blind eyes so that you may understand how good God is and why people who were condemned to death last week stand up here and say, "Thank God, I'm saved and I didn't die. And He brought me back," contrary to the TV ads and the newspaper reports that prayer doesn't help. Ask my wife if prayer will raise you up off a deathbed. Ask others in here if prayer works or if it doesn't. My mother went to heaven because of prayer. She got tired of bugging God about me here and went to do it personally. I'm convinced of that. So Jesus has seen the blind man. He gets a question from the Jews because they believed if a man was born blind or crippled or infirm or whatever, that it was because that his parents had sinned. No, that's not true. And you have people who don't know God who will say, well, if there was a God, He wouldn't allow people like Bradley to be born. Wasn't Bradley's parents that caused him being born, nor any sin they did, nor any sin he did. You go back to the Garden of Eden and find out the curse that's upon the earth. None of Adam and Eve's children were born with any infirmities. None of them were born to die. Blood was not to be shed. There was no hell to go to till God made it later. Everything was fine till man messed it up. Don't jump on God's case. Talk to Adam and Eve when you see them, if you do. I didn't know. Well, now you do. "I must work the works of Him that sent me," said Jesus. And this, if better translation now, is "we must work." You see, we continue the work of Christ. Now, don't get in this crowd that thinks they are Christ. You know, on the East Coast, we see bumper stickers that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." We in the Bible Belt, right? California, you see signs that say, "Hawk if you are Jesus," right? They got gurus and murus and leaders supposedly of the Christian community who are not born again, speaking on behalf of God. You better be very careful what you stand up and speak about on behalf of God. Amen. My knees shudder every time I come to preach, not while I'm preaching. I know how to do this. But before I get here, please understand, for I am responsible for every word I say on behalf of the Lord God Almighty to give an account to Him of why I said it and if it was biblically correct. Please understand, I know that. That's why I don't stand up here and tell you, "Well, God spoke to me," because He didn't speak to me and He hadn't spoken to anybody else who says He did. They're lying. Put six of them in different rooms and ask them what tone of voice he has. You'll get six different answers. What kind of accent did he have? What language did he use? So, well, you see, Bobby, yeah, I see. Porky Pigot. So Jesus says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." So Jesus came to be the light of the world, right? Well, we had the sun. No, not that kind of light. He came to be spiritually lighting up people. The world laid in darkness, did it not? Is not most of it in darkness this morning, is it not? Yes. Cannot see spiritual things. The only so-called Christian country left is this one. Think about calling this one a Christian country for a little bit. I mean, and we're at the top of the heap. Not a very big heap, is it? World's in darkness. Most people don't know. I saw the lady who follows Riley on TV. What's the pretty little blonde? Looks like Patsy. The lawyer that comes on after, what's her name? Anybody? Huh? Not Greta. I said pretty little girl. What's her name? Nancy. That's the one. Nancy. She comes on and wants to know, because this man was murdered by his wife, and that's sad that that happened, but good people do bad things, bad people do good things. You just got to know that. Okay? Her husband's dead, and she wanted to question, well, was this a cult? It's the Church of Christ. It's not a cult. It's a denomination. And they have certain beliefs that I don't go along with, but they are very sound in believing in the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, his coming for the church, and his setting up of a kingdom. And if you know those four, me and you can sit down and talk. We can get over the other stuff that we don't believe in. I don't care if you were baptized facing east, west, north, south, naked with your hair on fire, wearing a bathing suit. I don't care. None of that matters to me. I want to know, can you see and can you understand what you read? And don't major in the minor, but let's go ahead and major in the major, because Jesus is coming soon. And cut out the foolishness, okay? And she was asking, called Bob Jones up in Greenville. That was a mistake for her. See? Well, do you consider them a cult? Not a cult. They're just a denomination. So, people love Jesus. That's all. And she says, well, do you think that the Muslims and the Jews are going to heaven? Which shows me, A, she's lost. B, she's never read the Bible. C, if she did, she don't understand it. And four, why would anybody make a fool of themselves like that in front of 100 million people? Let me get it straight. You remember last week we told you? Jack's friend said, you don't mean you don't believe Jesus is just coming for Christians, do you? Yes. Yes. Right? The basketball team bus is coming for... Oh, hey, boy, isn't this getting theologically deep? The answer to that question is nobody's going to the heaven of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, unless they have put their faith in the Son of God, plus nothing, minus nothing. And if you have not the Son, you have not the Father. It's written. All right? All right. All right. Get to preaching in a minute. Watch out. So he said, I'm the light of the world. Let me show you what I mean. The blind man's there. And he spat on the ground. Why did Jesus spit on the ground? Because those people believed that something in saliva helped heal wounds. I don't know if any medical doctors with us today or not, but that's true to an extent. You read in the Bible, I told you nothing is in there to fill up the pages. You remember when the dogs came and licked the sores of the man outside the gate? That wasn't put there to fill up space. A dog licking your sores on your legs will aid in the healing of that. Nobody knows why, except the one that made the dog. He knows why. Okay? So Jesus spat on the ground because they saw this as a healing instrument. Then he made clay. Why did he need clay? Why didn't he just spit on his hand, wipe it on his eye? He's showing he's the creator. This is a creative act. I'm going to take this, put it here. I'm going to create mud. I'm going to put it in your eyes. And then I'm going to do what? Anointed the eyes of a blind man and said what? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, wasn't there any other water nearby? Yes. Didn't people have, as we would say, canteens of water nearby? Yes. Didn't every house have a bowl of water by the door to wash people's feet off dust when they came in as a simple act of gratitude of them visiting the home? Yes. No water shortage. Why wash in the pool of Siloam? Because the pool of Siloam is called sent. He's saying, look, this is a lesson for you. I was sent to bring light to the world. And through this creative act, I am going to bring light to your blind eyes. But I'm also going to bring spiritual light to the millions who are spiritually blind and need to know who I am. So, I didn't read it like that. Well, maybe we'll next time. So now we see that Jesus came to be the light of the world. We got that. Stage one of the salvation process, they were seeing Jesus as a man. Neighbors, therefore, they'd seen him. And they got to asking, isn't this the guy who was sitting out there begging last week? It looks like him. Isn't it him? Saw him as a man, did they not? And some said, well, it's like him. He said, it's me. It's me. Somebody the other day told me, said, now, thought I saw you at the Walmart. I said, you don't think you see me. You either see me, how you miss me. You either saw me or you didn't see me. How you gonna miss? Want to say it to you? I thought that was you. I wasn't sure. It was me. Okay. They jerked him up and said, look, how are your eyes open, buddy? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay. You see who he sees Jesus as right now? Sees him as a man. That's how people start out seeing Jesus. I ask most people on the street. Nowadays, most of them don't know who you're talking about. Others say, oh, yeah, he was a good man. Strange that you would say that. He said that he wasn't. The man came up and said, you're good. He said, nobody's good but God. Jesus denied being a good man. He said, well, he is a wonderful teacher. How would you know he hasn't taught you anything? Well, he was a philosopher, was he? Isn't this what you hear about Jesus? Well, I'm sure he was a respectable citizen. They'll have him on city council for long. Levitt, do you know Levitt, the rabbi that got saved? Wonderful preacher now, preaches around the world. Zola Levitt on TV, watch him if you can. Man's forgotten more than I'll ever know. He said, I can't believe the Gentiles. Jesus was a Jew. First they made him a Gentile. A few years go by, now they got him with blue eyes. See the picture of him? They got him as a white man. Caucasian. Right? And you see pictures in church of Jesus, the blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy just back from the beauty shop, skipping in his long white robe. No! No. You see a carpenter and a builder with rough hands, the light of the world who came to make the world have light, although the blind spiritually thought they already had light because the sun got in their eyes. Isn't it funny how many people are blind and don't know it? And millions of people see Jesus as a man, and that, of course, is the pluralistic gospel that we see around us. Well, all religions lead to the same place. No, they don't. All of them lead to hell but one, and it goes the other direction. Have not the Son, you have not the Father. You have not Christ. I don't care what your religion is. Whether you worship a prophet, a pineapple tree, or a pumpkin, you go into hell.
That's right.
All right? Thank you, Lewis. All of them don't like it. We got the rock now. Says, those without sin, cast first stone. Just get up here and get it. Don't draw back fast. I got a quick right. Okay. So he said, all right, we're going to change him. They did. They said, how are your eyes open, buddy? Said a man that called Jesus. And I received my sight. He said, where is he? I don't know. I've already told you what he was doing. He was looking around. What would you be doing if you hadn't ever seen in your life and all of a sudden you got sight? My goodness, you don't look at everything, wouldn't you? In that beautiful garbage can. Everybody else just passed by, didn't even notice. Look at that stuff in there. Right? Pick up a beer carton out there, you won't read the label. Well, it's got this, got that. Forgot to tell you it had directions to hell in it, didn't it? Left that part out, didn't it? I received my sight, and I said, where is he? He said, I don't know. So they brought him to the Pharisees, nitpickers. More interested in you wearing your hair in a bob and sensible shoes and that you and knowing Jesus. I walked out of the biggest fundamental church in South Carolina one time. My wife and I, they were having a Christmas show. And they had a beautiful choir. And they were having one of those Christmas things that they do that are wonderful. So we decided we'd go. Knew the preacher, knew the people in there. Went in there. And there were 942 coats spread out on the seats in the front. So I picked a couple of them up, shuffled them over two or three rows, and sat down. And somebody came and said, you can't do that. Where's Farrell? Don't you tell us that all the time? You can't do that. I said, just did. said, well, why would you do that? I said, why did y'all miss the cloakroom? He said, well, we're saving those seats. I said, if you were more interested in saving people instead of seats, we'd get along better.
Come on,
I'll be leaving your seat for you. And I'm sorry I'm going to miss the singing. And I'll never be back. And left. And won't go back. Majoring into minor. Seeing God as man. They brought the Pharisees to him and said, look, son, we're glad you can see. We believe you ought to be excited. You know, nobody wants you excited about being saved. This man was saved from being blind. You understand him jumping around? Playing kick the can, tussling the kids on the head, seeing a soccer ball made of rags with the kids, jumping out there and kicking it in the middle of them, running up and giving somebody a hug that you're not supposed to, kind of like you do down here. You know what I'm saying? No airs, just glad to see you. Boy, Ziggy, I've known you so long. It's good to look at your face. Never seen you before. Say, honey, I've always loved you. I didn't know you had that smile. I had no idea you had that smile. I had no idea that your eyes were so beautiful. You see, I didn't know what eyes were to today. You see what I'm saying? This man is excited about being saved from blindness. He is not interested in how it came about. If you got $1 million in cash left in a briefcase on your doorstep this morning, may we see a show of hands of how many would care where it came from? It's incidental, isn't it? It's here. This is what he's doing. Therefore, Pharisee said, wait a minute. They're going to think this guy's somebody in a minute. He's healing people. They're going to call him a prophet. Sure as we see it, we got to stop this before it goes far. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God. And they said, why? Because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Oh, we need to shoot him. You more interested in keeping the Sabbath than bringing a man from darkness to light? What is the matter with you? These are people who won't jump in the ocean and save somebody from drowning because they don't swim on Sunday. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? So here we find this man said, look, I don't know if he's a prophet or not, and they keep on with him. Well, how did he heal you? How did he make you see? And he said, oh, man. And they asked the blind man, tell us now in plain language, what do you think of this man that just brought you from darkness to light? And he says, in no uncertain terms, will you bunch of morons listen carefully? He is a prophet. He's a man from God. He's a man of God. This man realized that, didn't he? That's why when you get saved, you see Jesus in a different light, we call it, don't we? You see the Bible in a different light, don't you? Us crazy Christians, you think, I never thought I'd be one of them. Now I'm down there with them. We won't ask for a show of hands there. There's too many hands. Okay. But the Jews didn't believe him. Are Jews hard-headed? They said, get his parents. They got the parents, talked to them. They said, look, we know he's our baby. We know he was blind. We helped him learn to walk, talk, eat, and dress himself. We've led him around for years. He's blind. And they said it again. Well, how were his eyes opened? We have told you how his eyes were open. The prophet spit on the ground, made clay, put it on his eyes, and they opened. Well, how did he do that? I don't know how a chicken legs an egg. I don't need to know. We just ate 2 scrambled eggs, okay? Isn't this the whole world?
Well, can you prove to me Jesus was God? No, I'll wait till you see him and let him prove it. How's that?
God, I don't owe you any proof. I owe you anything. Brought us up from what? The miry clay. Brought us out of darkness to light. We were blind, we sing, but now I see, don't we? Isn't it wonderful to be able to see, to come out of darkness? Don't you remember the day that you came out of darkness? Don't you remember the day that no longer it was dark to you and you could see the truth of God and see really what was around you and understand us crazy preachers and understand why we get excited and understand why we get loud? And otherwise, if they didn't have us tethered, we'd be running around the building. Don't you understand how excited we get because we have seen the light for years and saying, blind man, please, please walk in the light. Please come and walk in the light with me. Why do you want to not see? Why do you want to dwell in darkness? Why do you want to live like that when you can walk in the sunshine? Pretty good question, huh? And yet, as the country song goes, Greg, looking for love in all the wrong places. Why don't you look to He who is love? If you're looking for love, you'll find out He's got real love. So here are the Pharisees again, not knowing what to do. Now they got a prophet on their hands. But now they got to see Him as a Savior. Verse 20 said, they asked His parents, how was it done? Who did it? How did it take place? Could you give me the physics of that? No. His parents answered them and said, we know not. We just know that this is our son and that he was born blind and now he can see. That's all we know. Or can you prove to me? No. Well, I'm a scientist, and you'll have to put God in the test tube. I can't. Well, the scholars have educated themselves beyond their intellect. I love God's sense of humor. It's about over. God's about to come. The Lord Jesus is about to come. And He finally let the educated intelligize their self to the point where there's nowhere else to go. He let them go all the way back to what they call the Big Bang and left them with the simple question for us dumb Christians to ask, what banged? We've been studying this 100 years and the physics and the science and the biology and blah, 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 blah. And we can't answer this idiot's question of what banged. You see, you got to go outside to bang. A child of 10 will tell you with a firecracker set off over here, something banged. There was a noise. First thing he'll say, what made the noise? 10 years old, right? Slam a door. Somebody says, what happened? I don't know. I think a noise just happened without cause. No. Something had to bang. And it wasn't a bang. It was a word he spoke. The entire universe into existence. Next time you hear him sing, what a mighty God we serve, sing it real slow. Think about it real good. And I hear it, tears come in my eyes. What a mighty God we serve. Well, how do you know he was mighty? Because I was blind, and now I see. I was in darkness, and now I'm in light. I was scared of death. Now I stick my tongue out at it and spit at it and say, can't touch me. You can't touch this. I belong to the Savior. No death for me. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. I love old Alan Lee up at the funeral home. He He calls me when somebody doesn't have a preacher to preach the funeral. And I don't mind. They always pay me $100. And I try to look preacher-like because that's what they expect. But I always ask, do you know this man was saved or lost? He'll say, from the family's reaction to the death. I don't think so, Beaver. See, the mortician knows. I ride with them all the time to the graveyard. And I say, what about this one? And they'll say, yeah, the family came in, had prayer, hugged each other and said, God bless you. You know where he is. Wasn't a lot of crying. It was a lot of hugging. Somebody slipped a New Testament in his hand in the coffin. Pop Atwood will have a memorial service for him next Sunday after the service. Ray's dad. And he was lying in state for a hero he was, 50 years on the law enforcement sheriff's group up in Concord. And they were standing by the casket in full dress uniforms, changing the guard every 15 minutes. It was something to see. And I said, Billy, come in, man. She said, what? I said, you got one of my crossers in Pop's hand. I'm going to go up and put one in it. She said, it's already there. Already there. So, well, why do y'all do that? Is that a symbol? Is that a magic? No. It's to remind you, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Why should we let you into heaven? The cross. Why aren't you going to be found guilty of your sins? The cross. Well, you know, theologian, you don't even read well, and you didn't go very far in school, and how do you know the cross? Somebody asked Charlie Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived from England. He said, Dr. Spurgeon, I'm a young preacher, and making sermons is difficult for me at this stage. How do I go about deciding on what to preach on and how to do that? He said, open your Bible. Pick a verse. Read it. I don't care what it says. From there, make a beeline to the cross. Visited last night with Carol Thompson, Carol's old beach girl. Somebody called and said she's probably in her last hours. Would you go see her? I said, sure. I thought she was in Orangeburg. And so I went over here to see her yesterday. We had a little talk, and I said, honey, I just came to make sure you knew. Everything all right with you and the Lord? She said, yes. I said, good. That's the main thing. She said, no. It's the only thing. Ooh, that's a short sermon, isn't it? It's not just the main thing. It's not something that just has your interest. It is the only thing. For 10 seconds after you're dead, you will know whether you've made the greatest decision of eternity that could be made, or made the worst mistake that could ever be thought of. That's why I tell the atheist I run into, will be one now, because there's no atheist in hell. I said, no atheist in hell. I said, no. 10 seconds after you there. Here come Madeleine Murray O'Hare. Here will come Hitler. Here will come Stalin. Here will come all the others. And say, we were wrong. We were wrong. Go back. Don't come here. We were wrong. We were wrong. And the next day you'll be facing the gate as people come in joining a choir you didn't want to be part of. In the chorus of you were wrong. We were wrong. Go back. Don't come here. So how do you know they say that? Because the only man that ever went to hell and was talked to said they did. Read a book. Then they saw Jesus as being from God. love this man. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple? We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake to Moses on the mountain. As for this fella, we don't know where he is, and I love the blind man, formerly blind man's answer. Man answered and said to them, it's written right in there between that period and the next letter, how dumb can you be? Here's a marvelous thing. You know not from where he came, and yet he's performed a miracle and made me see, and you wondering where he came from. Do you understand only God can do that? Well, yeah, that's what we've been telling people. Did he do that? Looks like it. Have you got the message yet? This man is from God, is of God, and is God. Do you understand that? And if you don't get to that point, you'll never get saved until you see God as the Son of God, which was a Jewish term for God. You'll never be saved. Be as religious as you want. We got religion coming out of ears. Somebody gave me, I didn't read this, but I did get the part where I could use this prayer cloth. Gee, bud, dandy. Blind people send out mail to blind people that read it. Well, we go to church, I'd say, what, Margaret? 4 or 5 times a year? You know, we went to the Easter thing there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. The Bible says, so do the devils, and they tremble. Well, y'all are a narrow group. Yeah, we're those fundamentalists you're not supposed to listen to. Aren't you glad you came? Isn't it funny? You want the airplane pilot to be a fundamentalist, because if he forgets the gas, which is a fundamental thing of flying, you're dead. I hope fundamentalists cook those cakes and cookies back here. Because if one wasn't a liberal and put in salt instead of sugar, it's not going to be a pleasant day. Right? My good friend, my lawyer, is here today, and I hope if we ever have to go to court with someone that he informs me that he follows the fundamentals of the law, we'll be all right. Not that, no, I don't fool with that. I've just made up some stuff. We'll try our best. I slept at the Holiday Inn last night. Listen, No. I want a blind man who now sees to tell me about darkness and light. I want a preacher who will look at you and say, I am a blood-washed, born-again Son of the living God who believes everything in that book, and I even believe that part that says printed in USA back here at the back. Inerrant, indestructible word of the living God. And if I don't understand it, it isn't wrong. I'm without knowledge. I need to learn more. And today, as we sit in God's sunshine and you have that light, how you doing spiritually? Still blind? Can't see? Lost as a billy goat and know it. Died today to break hell wide open, and forgot to mention Dave McCord sat right over here. Died this week, massive heart attack. Mary's going to bury him in Maryland. 45 years old. And last week when I was talking about it might be you, he surely didn't think it was him. So how you doing? Blind? Walking on the cane of religion? Got the sacrosanct theological walk, are we? See? You can see, but things are foggy. They aren't clear. Spiritually blind. How do you stand today? If you're one of those among us, and surely with the crowd this large, someone is, came in this door without a Savior. Don't leave without Him. Don't leave without Him. He says simply, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, ye who are blind, I'll make you see. Come unto me, you are under the curse of death, I'll remove the curse, and you shall never die. What a deal. Seems to me that if somebody just understood the deal, they'd sign up. Because where are you going to get a better one? Nothing can approach the Savior. Nothing can take His place. Never has been, never will be a man like Jesus. And I'm glad one day I'll see Him face to face. And if you're not in that position today as we sing, we pray. Quietly pray where you are, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And no use to list them, you already got the computer. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm honestly sorry that I ever sinned against you. I want to be forgiven. I believe you're the Savior. And by faith, I call on you today to save me. Wipe away my sins. Let me live with you forever. And I will come as the blind man did and learn more of you. Just help me. But today, save me. And I promise He will. And you will go from darkness to light, from one who is blind to one who sees. Can we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here today, that you presented us with a wonderful day. Beautiful friends to be upon, those brought back from sickness, touch those who are still sick. Those who sit here before me who are lost and spiritually blind, we're not mad at them. We want them to be part of our family. We love them so much. And you loved them enough to die for them to be part of that family. So please, Holy Spirit of God, as you move about, linger by that one who needs you most, that one who has heard this message over and over and over since childhood and just never bothered to accept you as Savior. And let them today accept you and have their first meal with the family of God, now in the family of God. And we ask you to bless this food we're about to eat. Thank you for those who provided it. Use it to the health and nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service, that we too can help blind men to see. In Christ's name I pray, and for His sake, amen.